Stories in sports, delivered in 8 minutes. It's the
Rubber Needs New Shorts.
Powered by Video Only.
I'll run a little bit late this morning so that we could finish our Chris Bryant conversation. Bucky, get on board with it. Chris Bryant to the Mariners. Let's do it.
Oh, it's scary to me, man. But it's
make an exception on this guy.
I'll be scared. I'll be scared if it happens. But believe you me, the first time I see him step in the batter's box, I'm going to be pretty excited.
Yeah, playing left field, hitting fourth. Yeah, he's a better outfielder than he is a third baseman, by the way. He's basically, they've turned him into Cody Bellinger out there, and he's back to playing at all-star form. So let's get him in there, and then let's woo him, and let's convince him, and let him be a part of this special clubhouse that's starting to brew, and let's get this done. Come on now, get on board with it. All hands in.
I'll help him in the wooing process, if at all possible. I don't know if he likes to fish or campfires. Things like that, I can help in that regard, or making him beverages. I make a really good vodka tonic. I'll help.
Seems to be a bit of a city boy, Vegas, grew up in Vegas, and then he went to school in San Diego. Kind of a pretty boy. I'm not sure he's going to go out to the rough and tumble North Bend, and track down elk and kill them with his bare hands like you people are known to do.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. I'm of no use, I suppose. I'll just have to figure out another way. I mean, as long as he drops bombs, I don't really care what he does in his free time.
I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just saying get on board. You know, this is a great idea that I came up with this morning, and I want somebody to acknowledge it. Chris, will you at least acknowledge it? Just tell me it's a great idea, and we can get on with the Ocho.
Great idea.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
Listen to Chris Kidd if you don't want to listen to me, Bucky.
Okay. All right, I'll listen to you both. Still out.
The Ocho, the 8 top stories of the day. It is powered by Video Only. And last night, man, what a night out at T-Mobile. The Mariners, who have put themselves into a position of contending for a playoff spot here with this stretch of baseball that they've played over the last 30 days or so. And then with 3 days before the trading deadline, you know, they've basically put themselves into a position of being a buyer after Sunday's win over the Oakland Athletics. Momentum going forward, and then they play last night against the first place, the dastardly Houston Astros last night. And before they could get a second out in the game, the Astros go up 6-0. And yet here come the mighty Mariners just chipping away at that lead. They end up erasing a 7-0 deficit before the end and trailing by one in the bottom of the eighth. Bases loaded. Dylan Moore comes to the plate.
Bases loaded, 2 outs. This is on its way! Grand slam! Are you kidding me? Crushed. That's right. It's a party. Wow. What an inning. I mean, the at-bats that we saw this inning were awesome. Up to something that Dylan Moore hammers that thing into the upper deck.
Root Sports on the call. Aaron and Mike there. Dylan Moore delivering, and there was no doubt about it. I mean, you had doubt, Bucky, during the at-bat that Dylan Moore was going to come through. But once he made contact, that thing soared into the upper deck down the left field line. You were hoping right off the bat that it didn't curl foul, but Moore knew that it was not going to go foul. Immediately looked to the dugout, I think held up a number one finger, and they were off to celebrating. And they did very well in the celebrating realm. They went crazy for Dylan Moore's grand slam, and rightfully so.
Yeah, that was pandemonium, man. I mean, that thing just, everybody went nuts, and understandably so. I mean, you just don't, very rarely are you going to fall behind 6-0 in the first inning, 7-0 by the time you get to the fourth, and be able to claw back into the whole thing. And this team doesn't quit. I mean, this team, everybody kind of, wants to say, okay, they're young, and it's understandable that they say that because it's true. They're one of the youngest teams out there, but the inexperience that they bring with them also brings some sort of, I don't know, juvenile, like, zest and zeal. The way that they go about their business is just kind of, they believe it doesn't matter who they're going up against. Whoever steps on the field with them, they believe that they can beat them right now, and they can. And so, I mean, unbelievable win.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge moment. I just listened to that call again. That's probably the 10th time that I've heard it. Still gives me goosebumps every single time. And then, you know, at one point he drops just a wow. And that's exactly, wow. I mean, what in the heck did we just witness last night? Unbelievable win. Hopefully it's something they can continue to build on and just watch this team continue to soar.
And undoubtedly handsome Dylan Moore with his, you know, his sculpted pipes, rolled up his sleeves and pinned them near his neck like he does to really show them off, to show those biceps off. And then he talked to the media about his game-winning hit.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It boils down to the best baseball moment of my career so far, beyond my debut, which nothing really crazy happened there in Tokyo. But this was the coolest moment of my career so far, just with the guys and this team. And it's a special moment for me. I'm going to savor it.
Dylan Moore's 10th homer this season. It wasn't all. I mean, it was a team-wide contribution. Seager hit a three-run homer, which was huge. Cal Raleigh got all the scoring started with the bases loaded. Just a pee to the right center field wall for a three-run double. Shed Long had a clutch RBI in the game that drew the team within one. And then, of course, on the pitching side, you had McCacken, who McCackened up the lead there at the beginning of the game. And then settled down, gave the team four innings. Turns out that was essential. Eric Swanson pitched two terrific innings. Graveman ends up getting the win. Seawald ends up getting the save. And the Mariners moved to 55-46 on the season with an 11-8 victory over the a-hole Astros last night. After the game, Scott Servais was hoarse when talking about the comeback win.
You know, you go through seasons and you have big wins and come from behind wins. And I go back a few years ago, we were down, I don't know, 10 runs to the Padres that one night. We came back, but this is special. You're at home. You're in a situation where we're at and kind of in the standings fighting for something against a really, you know, the first place team. So this one's pretty darn special.
Yeah, between the fist pump for the Dylan Moore Grand Slam, and then JP gets hit in the back, and he starts to challenge a legend in Dusty Baker to a fist fight, basically, there on the field. It was quite an emotional 5 minutes for Scott Servais, and you might understand, after hurling all those F-bombs across the field, Bucky, why he was a little hoarse after the game.
Yeah, he got a little fired up there, right? I mean, fired up on both accounts. I mean, this is another one, you know, this is another one of the situations that I think it's prudent to just say, if you don't like sports, you're weird. I mean, because sports has, it's the full gamut. I mean, you start this thing off, and I can't stand Twitter, but occasionally I look at it because I have to for my job, and yet right off the bat, you got people like, let's go, Mariners, get a starter. This, we can't throw this, you know, just keep going bullpen days, and you know, so everybody's kind of off on it. And this is why our run differential's so bad. We're going to lose by 10, and then all of a sudden, you know, 4 hours later, because, boy, that was a long game, 4 hours later, all of a sudden you're looking at this going, what in the hell did I just watch? Did that just happen? Did they just claw back from down 7-0? And sure enough, they did. The team's got some fight. And, you know, it was nice to see Scott Servais kind of show some of that same fight right after they hit JP. I liked it.
Yeah, I think they love him. I do. I think there might have been a couple of questions about that a couple of years ago. But, man, I think that Servais has this clubhouse on lock. I think right now if you held the vote for manager of the year in the American League, he'd finish second. I think he'd finish behind Alex Cora of Boston. So Scott Servais getting the job done. The team's 55-46. They're just a game out of the wild card, and tonight have a chance to face the Astros again. So Chris Flexen will go for Seattle, and Lance McCullers Jr. will get the call for the Houston Astros. And of course, we're just 3 days away from the Major League Baseball trading deadline. I declared Sunday night that it's now time to buy. And by the way, I think Jerry DePoto, I'm very convinced of this, was going to use this seven-game stretch against the A's and the Astros to make that very determination. I think he went into this seven-game stretch wondering, are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers? Are we going to stand pat? Well, after Sunday's win, I think they became buyers, and certainly nothing last night shook Jerry DePoto from that path. So, let's go. 3 days away. Let's buy.
Well, we're waiting.
Yes, and we're going to get Chris Bryant. We're going to convince Bucky of it before the end of the show today. Angie Mensink joins us in about 15 minutes, so our weekly conversation with Angie couldn't come at a better time. She'll be with us right here on Chuck and Buck. There are some other things going on in the sports world. As a matter of fact, there are too many things going on in the sports world. We are on the eve of Seahawks training camp right now, and not sure what's going to become of Jamal Adams. Ian Rappaport does an excellent job for NFL.com and on Ian Furness's show, but I got to be honest with you. I was confused after this report.
The team has had, I would say, extensive contract talks with Jamal Adams, and one that would make him the highest paid safety. They're not there yet. Doesn't sound like they are close at all, but things are in a good place with the team and with Jamal Adams. So, yeah, I mean, I don't expect any issues at all with Adams showing up. We will see for sure tomorrow if he does, but that is, of course, the expectation. And eventually, this will be a deal that I think both sides will be happy with, and Jamal Adams will likely be a very, very rich man.
That was confusing. All right, so they're not close at all, but everybody should feel good that something's going to get done soon. And, yeah, they're all in a very good place if Adams shows up at all, and even if he does, it doesn't mean that he's signing.
Yeah, very confusing, to say the least. If you're not close at all after a year, I mean, you essentially have had a year to figure this whole thing out, and I mean, it's definitely a cause for concern. I agree. I think they're going to get it done. I mean, you almost have to, unless you're going to, you know, unless he is asking for something just astronomical, $22 million a year or something like that, then you can't double down on that one. But I do think they're going to get it done, but you need to get it done before practice starts. I mean, really, I mean, you want to get these guys out there. I mean, last year was his first year, and it seemed like the defense started getting better as he started getting used to the whole, you know, game plan and the way in which they were going to use him. So I want him out there sooner than later. You got to figure out how to get this thing done before he starts missing a bunch of reps.
Well, we have training camp coverage that starts tomorrow. Of course, they're going to start practice a little later this year, so Chuck and Buck's going to turn into the training camp hub, if you will, training camp central for the entire operation, and that will begin tomorrow right here on the old radio program. You got options, I guess, for your training camp coverage, but there's really only one choice, and that's just to keep your radio where it is. In Green Bay, they were waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers would actually report. Their first day of training camp was today, and guess what? He showed up, believe it or not, but there were some anxious moments.
Now, A-A-Ron, where are you? Where is A-A-Ron right now? No A-A-Ron, huh? Well, you better be sick, dead, or mute, A-A-Ron.
Yeah, well, it turns out he was none of the above, substitute teacher. He did show up, and he's ready to play on a one-year contract. And Bucky, they took my advice. They just basically said, hey, we're going to give you a one-year deal. We're going to give you a pay raise. We're going to give you a say, and you're going to give us 12 months to convince you that you need to stay a Packer for life. And if we can't, then we drafted Jordan Love for a reason. He'll be the replacement next year. So that seems to be the agreement that they reached to get him into camp.
Yeah, well, thanks for nothing on that one there. I mean, on behalf of all Bronco fans and Seahawk fans, thanks a lot for giving them the idea. You know, it would have been a whole heck of a lot better had he jumped ship to the AFC, specifically the Broncos. But no, you got to throw out good ideas and ruin it for everybody.
Well, you know what? I'm a major influencer, Bucky.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
it's because you've been tweeting so much.
Yeah, that's exactly.
God, isn't it fun?
The world is an influencer. Yes, my 1.5 tweets per week have obviously had their effect on the globe. College football today is Pac-12 Media Day, and that means David Softy Mahler and Richard L. Fain are going to be all over it today right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR. Yesterday, in preparation for Pac-12 Media Day, they had John Wilner on talking about how the Pac-12 might be affected by the implosion of the Big 12.
I don't think that the Pac-12 should invite any of the teams that are left over in the Big 12. They're not going to clear the bar on numerous fronts for the Pac-12. But I'm not sure that I see an exodus of Pac-12 teams to join the Big 10. You know, I think that one thing that could happen is some kind of scheduling alliance that does increase the Pac-12's media value. But boy, I mean, I'm just thinking from the presidential level, that is a gigantic leap for them to agree to separate and join the Pac-12.
Hot take. A hot take right there. A little different than what you're hearing from most people out there. But John Wilner, he usually has his finger on the pulse of things within the Pac-12 Conference. Cam Cleland is going to join us today at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk some Husky football with him and welcome him, obviously, to the KJR family as well. NHL free agency starts tomorrow. Yesterday, Ian Furness, our own hockey junkie here at KJR, had three of the Kraken's draft picks on his show, including second overall Matty Beaners, Beiners, sorry about that, out of Michigan, and he's fired up to be a member of the Kraken.
Yeah, I actually did watch it. I watched pretty much the whole thing. You know, it was pretty cool watching the fans out there and kind of saw the excitement. You know, it looked like a beautiful city just from, you know, zooming in, zooming out and seeing everything, being on the water. You know, that's pretty cool. But I think I was just most excited to see how excited the Seattle fans were about this new team.
Yeah, he seemed to be a pretty special player, so needs to be the real deal. You need to hit on your second overall draft pick, and by all accounts, he's got a really good chance of being a really good player very soon in the National Hockey League. Finally, the Olympics, they continue, obviously. Big story this morning, Simone Biles, maybe the best in the world at what she does, had to withdraw because of injury today. So she's out of the individual competition and the team competition going forward. So terrible news on the American front from the Olympics, because she was almost the surest gold thing that we had going. All right, coming up next on the program, Angie Mintink is going to join us. She's gold. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Details.
I'm Tamara Pridgett.
And I'm Adrienne Herbert. And we're co-hosts of Sweat the Details, a collaboration from Under Armour and iHeartRadio.
It's a brand new podcast by women, for women, here to shake up the conversation about women in sport and fitness.
iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Find Sweat the Details on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Root Sports' Angie Mintink.
Brought to you by Gillis Auto Center in Shelton, home of Warranty Forever.
Now with Angie, here's Chuck and Buck on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
What on earth shall we chat about with Angie? Boy,
who knows?
Searching, you know, I'm trying to go down
college football.
On the waiver wire here, do we make a transaction or anything in the last 40? I don't know. Having a hard time coming up dry this morning for topics to discuss with Angie Mintink during our weekly segments. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now before we bring Angie aboard. The Mariners giving back. They're loving this atmosphere here the last couple of nights and really the last month or so. So they got a ticket special tonight beginning at $10 for tonight's game. So if you want to get out to the ballpark, be a part of this energy, this momentum, $10 ticket offers out there for tonight's game. So get out there and be a part of all of this. Angie, my goodness. How did this product become the most exciting thing in the galaxy? What's going on?
Yeah, this is crazy. I mean, I was down there on Saturday as part of the players cast, and I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time I felt, you know, energy like, you know, it has been in the stadium. It's been a long time. I mean, honestly, it feels like it's dare I say it, a playoff atmosphere here at the end of July.
Oh, I love the sound of that. We still got a ways to go, but right now, I mean, it'd be one thing if they rattled off, you know, 10, 12, 15 games of good baseball, and you'd think, wow, look at this little spurt that they're on. But we're at like 2 months of good baseball after kind of a slow start all the way around. And to me, it seems sustainable. What is the thing that is the, I guess, the biggest surprise to you as far as the turnaround, this young team going from, you know, shoot, they were getting no hit, you know, a couple times there in like a week, and then now all of a sudden they're like, oh, down 7-0, no biggie, here we come.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's just the beauty of having, now I say this with affection, a young dumb team. Like you don't realize you're not supposed to win that game. You have no idea. You're just supposed to lose that game. That's one of those ones that you bundle up, you throw away. It's just, you know, one of 162, no big deal. But when you have a team that's just like, what? No. We're going to win. Like, they're playing like little kids, and that's what they are. It's hysterical. Speaking of little kids, when I was down there on Saturday, I was down, and they were doing their drills before they started BP, and there's balls all over the place. And all of a sudden, Kyle Seager yells at Ty France, who, like, ran into the dugout for something. He's like, hey, don't worry about it, Ty. We'll get the balls. You don't have to. And then Kyle Seager, you know, the old man in the group, he is literally, like, hugging, like, pretending like it's so hard to pick up this bucket of balls. Like, he's hugging it. He has got it hugged. He has, like, four guys hanging off of him, pretending to, like, lift up the bottom, get a handle, and it's like there's four players like dragging this one bucket of balls to the side, and like they just look like a bunch of kids. I mean, they were just a bunch of like silly kids, and they're grown men playing a kid's game for sure, but they're just having so much fun. And I think it's easy to say they're playing free and loose, and I couldn't be more excited for this group. They're playing hard. I mean, they're playing hard. Yeah. I give Scott Service credit for that. He's got this team playing hard every night.
That's what I was going to follow up with. I mean, you know, I've said it here the last couple of weeks. I've said it on other shows when asked about the job of Scott Service. I mean, it wasn't long ago people are like wanting to run him out of town, and I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. This guy's going to finish second in voting if they have the vote right now for American League Manager of the Year. And that was a couple of weeks ago. Now the team's playing better than ever, and they're playing, as you said, so hard and with so much fun out there on the field. How much credit do you give him? You're closer to it. I mean, I haven't even seen the sun in like 2 years, so you're closer to it than what we are. You know, how much credit do you give him for the buttons he's pushing, not just from X's and O's, but also with managing the personalities on this roster?
Yeah, I do give him a lot of credit because, you know, you have to create this culture. It doesn't, you know, just happen on accident. And the other thing that I really like with what's going on right now, guys, is that, dare I have to say, they have to win these games. Like, these were important. I mean, you know, I said it last night. I joked, it's like, Mariners are in the Oakland A's rearview mirror. It's like they're so close right now. They're in that blind spot. You can't even see them in the rearview mirror. It's like, you know, you don't want to get over in the other lane because you're going to hit them because they're in that blind spot. But they have to win these games. The Oakland A's right now, they know. This is a really important road trip for them. They got the Dodgers and the Padres, you know, after the Mariners. This is bad for them. This is really bad for them. And so I think it says something. It's like when you have to win, that you do win and you don't, you know, put too much pressure on yourself and you know, not be able to come through. They're not putting any pressure on themselves. And I think that starts with Scott.
Ange, do you see this team? Do you see DePoto going out and making some moves? Got a few days left before the trading deadline. This team has played themselves into a spot where they can make a run in the final 60-plus games. Is the team going to go do something?
I know. Isn't it weird, by the way? We're like basically going to play. We got like 60 games about to play. That's what we played last year.
Yeah.
Right.
We have the 2020 season in front of us. You know, I mean, obviously his hand is a little bit forced now, but now I'm going, wah, wah. You never say no, because when you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. Everybody knows that. I think that Jerry would have to go. I mean, this starting rotation, when you think about a playoff series, has a ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, you can't play bullpen ball every single night in the playoffs. So that's to me where second base, I'm going to go, meh, you know. I mean, look at what Dylan Moore did last night. The guy, you know, he has a knack for coming up with some big hits. But, yeah, I think that he would have to go and get something there for the starting rotation. I just don't know, you know, are you able to go get at the trade deadline, you know, in this market this year? that starting pitcher? And what would you have to give up for it?
Yeah, Bucky and I are, you know, we're both, like, we're not into rental players necessarily. There is an exception, but I don't have time to get into that with you, Angie. I'll work on Bucky on that. But we're not necessarily into rental players. I don't, you know, but for us, and I think every Mariner fan should feel this way, the rebuild is still everything. It is sacred and needs to be protected. But don't you believe, though, at this stage, with the playoff drought looming, with the way the team's playing, with Jerry having already gone on record recently saying that we're going to be a buyer, that was five games ago. We've since gone 4-1 against the A's and the Astros, for goodness sake, and are coming off the biggest win in 5-10 years in Mariner history. Doesn't he not have any choice whatsoever? He's got to do something to add to this roster this week?
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. I think they are buyers, but, you know, as Jerry has said, and what we've seen, I think they're going to continue with this rebuild, you know, and everything that they're going to do is going to have to, like, fall in line with that, as we've talked about, and apparently we don't have time to get into. You know, they're not going to go and get a rental player. They're going to, even if they have to give up something, I think they're going to get a player. It's going to make sense, you know, that they're going to have club control over
for a while. Yeah. Have you ever seen Service go? I've never seen him as elated as he was with the grand slam. And then about 1 minute later, he wanted to punch Dusty Baker in the face. Emotions in sports are great, are they not?
Yeah, they were. I don't know. I was thinking about that. I was like, did you guys even see the end of the game? My gosh, like, how early you guys have to get up.
Yeah,
Nobody has to be madder that they play four-hour games than you guys do.
Not with a game like that. Yeah,
as long as they win.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I went to bed at, like, 3:15 last night. I couldn't go to sleep. It was so exciting. It was awesome.
I even stayed up a little bit longer to listen to you and Bill give the breakdown of the post game. Yeah, and then I mean, don't get me wrong. If the roles were reversed and we lost after, I saw Cammy too. If they lost after being up 7-0, I'd be really, really mad this morning because of the loss.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, shoot. I mean, I always listen to the newspaper guys. Oh, rewrite. I'm like, shut up. You guys rewrite? You got like an hour, okay? How about a rewrite? We have 3 outs. Rewrite an entire post-game show. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie. Second inning, you start writing that thing because it's, I mean, you're down a touchdown. I mean, for goodness sake. You figure you know how this one's going to end. But, yeah, it's a fun rewrite when that happens in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Let me tell you something about beat writers. Ryan Divish is one of many out there that an alien spaceship could fly out of the sky, land in center field, and bring to everyone, powers, superpowers that's at the stadium, and Divish would get it, and he would still complain about having to rewrite his lead story.
And how long they hung out in center field.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I was going to write.
It's going to take you half an hour to bring us superpowers? Can't you do it in 5 minutes?
I was going to write about Marco's good game, and now I got to restart all over because aliens descended and gave us superpowers.
Yeah. Oh, Divish. Love him.
That's awesome. You guys are awesome.
All right, well, you're awesome. So thanks for being with us. That was a fun game last night, and man, it timed out perfectly to have you on for our weekly segment. So I'm always pumped to talk to you, but that particularly was excited to get your reaction to last night.
No, that was a lot of fun. Like I said, I mean, even a bottle of wine in, it was hard to go to bed last night.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Have a good one.
All right, there she is, the host with the most, the great Angie Mensink. Of course, Root Sports back on the call tonight, so 7 o'clock start, but 6:30 pregame, Astros and Mariners, and it will be McCullers versus Flexen, so let's beat them again. Her segment with us is brought to you by Gillis Auto Center in Shelton, home of Warranty Forever, and I should remind you, in case you got a little stimulated last night about the action, the way the team's playing, and like, man, I wish I was there. $10 ticket prices tonight. So you got an opportunity to go and go relatively cheap to the old ball yard to watch the team try to make it two in a row against the Houston Astros and five in a row overall. All right, coming up next on our program, it is story time. Due to time concerns, I'm going to go ahead and pick today's topic, but you're going to like it. Sports Radio 950 KO. Oh, it's story time here on Chug a Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. And I'm going to hijack it today and get right to the point. We saw a tremendous rally from 7-0 down last night, and I thought it would be a good time to challenge Bucky to a great rally story in his life. Now, I guess you could go with the time that you were in Vegas and you forced yourself to puke at 11:45 and then you partied until 6 in the morning.
I guess
you could go with that kind of a rally story if you'd like. And then the next day against Vegas, you went 2-for-3 with a homer and a double. I mean, you could go with that rally story if you'd like. But I didn't know if, like, maybe a sports rally story, some great comeback in some event that you were a part of comes to mind if I say, give me your best rally story.
Oh, boy. There was... let me think. Boy, there were some good ones. One I do remember. I've told you the story before about how Mark Burley no-hit us and then almost no-hit us.
Yeah.
Like the next rotation around, right? Did I ever tell you the end of the story with the second no-hitter? So he had a no-hitter going through 8 2/3 innings. We were losing 1-0. So he had, he was shoving it on us for the second time in 5 days. And a buddy of mine, Scott Kirby, comes up and ends up getting a knock, so he breaks up the no-hitter, and I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Cridlin that came up next and ended up hitting a double to tie the ball game. We go extra innings, and we were the home team, and so that was bottom of the ninth inning. That all went down. Well, we end up going like 14 or 15 innings. Well, in the top of the 15th inning, they ended up going back-to-back home runs, four Whoa. In a row against Whoa. Us. Yeah, it was like Joe Creedy, Aaron Rowand, who was Joe Borchard. These are all names maybe you remember from prospects. Aaron Rowand, obviously, big league guy. They go four home runs in a row, right? Well, that is pretty demoralizing when you're in the 14th inning of a game. And we proceed to go up there. First two guys get out, and we go back-to-back-to-back wow. home runs to pull within one, and then end up getting a hit-by-pitch. It was this Jesus Azuaje, Venezuelan dude, kind of a journeyman, ended up getting a cup of coffee in the big leagues. But he was known for taking hit-by-pitches. He just would not get out of the way, and I appreciate that, especially in key situations. He ends up getting two strikes on him and then leans into one and gets a hit-by-pitch and is followed by a two-run bomb to walk it off in
wow.
the bottom of the ninth inning. About That's the most amazing. Spectacular, weird, yeah, just the ebbs and flows, right? I mean, you're getting shoved on you, no hit, boom, all of a sudden with two outs, you end up getting a base knock to score it, to basically tie it up, and then after they go four back-to-back-to-back-to-backs, you end up coming back with back-to-back-to-back and win it. It was pretty amazing little rally. Damn. The ebbs and flows of that game were amazing.
I hope people stuck around for the 14 innings to see that.
Birmingham, Alabama. They didn't. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of leaving early. You know, it wasn't good. Like there was a lot of traffic you had to worry about at the end of the game. That was. Yeah. I think that game ended at about midnight, 1 o'clock. Yeah. 1 o'clock in the morning. It was a long one.
Yeah, if that was a Dodgers game, the crowd left would be called Jeff.
yeah,
Jeff
so
would
true.
Have stuck around to uh-huh. see that exciting ending. I know that my high school stories pale in comparison when matched up against a professional athlete, but this is a little different because have you ever seen a team rally from behind defensively?
No, I don't think so.
So I'm pitching in a game, and I'm getting squeezed to the point that my dad got kicked out of his first game. We had like seven parents got kicked out of a game. So it felt like the umpires were like trying to get the game over with. And so anyway, I load the bases, and I was a control pitcher. So the bases are loaded. I'm 3-0 on a hitter. We're in a tie game. In the bottom of the sixth inning, which, you know, you're getting ready to go into the last. And so, I mean, you couldn't look worse, right? 3-0, bases loaded, tie game. You know, you're the visiting team. And I gave my third baseman like a nod. And for whatever reason, telepathically, he knew what I was talking about. I just kind of looked over his direction. I didn't even nod. I just kind of looked over his direction. And at 3-0, I knew I wasn't going to get a strike called, no matter how accurate it was. So I picked the guy off third base. And then we did a strike him out, throw him out to close out the inning. And then we went into the seventh inning and won the game. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. But 3-0, bases loaded, winning run is 90 feet away. The guy was, like, taunting me because he was so sure they were going to win, and he was just getting reckless off third base. So I did the old, you know how the left-handers do to first base?
Oh, you know, did it to third.
I did it to third, and I picked him off of third base that way, and we rallied to win the game. So rallying defensively to win a game is something that you rarely see. So I thought I would share my little story as well. But your story was remarkable. That's incredible. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some college football amidst all of this Mariner talk. Cam Cleland is with us. He's now a part of our KJR family, I guess you could say. And today we're going to start a brand new series with him as we count down the days to Husky football on Sports Radio 950 KJR.